myself a realist. All right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden and Draven. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports. How are we today? Thumbs up from Hayden. Love to see it on this beautiful Friday, the last Friday of February. Cameron, how are you?
You exaggerated a little bit calling it a beautiful Friday, the way the weather turned out. A little bit of a 180 from yesterday, but I'm not bad. I'm doing pretty good.
It was sarcasm, Cam.
Okay. Sorry.
I just walked in the rain. I know it's not a beautiful Friday.
Now, thought you just being optimistic.
Some would say that any day alive is a beautiful day, but I'm not one of those people. Yeah, it is an ugly Friday.
Existence is pain. I'm doing pretty good though. Got some of Trae Young's shoes.
Hey.
He dropped some shoes. This morning, and I got some of those, so I can shoot 9 of 27 casually all the time. Considering the weather, I'm doing all right.
Love to see it. Draven, you good?
Nah, not really.
Bad?
Not doing that great. Ooh. Yeah, John, still a little salty about you roasting me yesterday, like I brought up, just a little salty.
No, come on.
I might be coming for you today a little bit,
You're coming for me?
Yeah. Just I might.
You go home and write like a set of roasts over there. You're gonna drop on me throughout the show.
Boom. Yeah, I was gonna do the Michael Scott.
Yeah.
No, but I'm gonna get you when you least expect it. You're just gonna be walking along, la di da da, and then all of a sudden, bam! I'm gonna roast you.
So you're a hitman. You're a roast
yep.
hitman today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Please be prepared. I'm ready for it.
Okay. Holding a grudge.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you least expect it, man.
I mean. I've always said you have a little Ted Bundy in you, so you hitting me when I least expect it seems pretty on brand for you. You have that creepy serial killer vibe, so bring it on, I guess.
What are you talking about now? You're going to roast me again? What are you talking about? Come on.
It just backfired on you.
if you've been waiting for your time to strike, I just said that kind of fits how you look. But you didn't see it going that way, huh?
No. Good one.
Well, I'm sorry you're not doing well. I know you've been really happy because of the weather. I'm sure that the weather, on top of you stewing for the last 21 hours about what I said to you in the last segment of the show yesterday, has been hurting. But I apologize.
It's okay. I'll get you back and we'll be even. It's all good. All good.
Okay, I guess. That's the way you want to play it. Now that mine was just an off-the-cuff remark. Now that I know you've been thinking about it for 21 hours, I feel like you're going to try to cut me deep or something.
Premeditated.
Yeah, this is premeditated assault. A premeditated roast is a little bit different than just a little session with the boys. But either way, whatever. I'll survive on this rainy Friday. Like I said, the last Friday of the month. What's the biggest sports story of the day?
Guess we're kind of just waiting to see how this Russell Wilson stuff plays out at this point.
Big breaking news here. Horn me. Nobody's going to horn
me.
It's fine. The Atlanta Dream have officially been sold.
Good.
Wow.
Co-owned by U.S. Senator Kelly Loeffler.
Former
U.S. Senator. Yeah, former. You are correct. Former U.S. Senator. They were the Atlanta Dream was actually vocal in terms of getting her voted out. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Basically, when that happened, she's like, "I got to sell the team." So he sold the team.
Good. She sucks.
So we're waiting on Russell Wilson. I mean, there were no other updates to that yesterday, were there?
Not really.
Nope.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Yeah, just same stuff. Those four teams on his list. If he does get traded. But I guess, yeah, he wants to stay in Seattle, but wouldn't care if they shipped him to one of those four teams. Ooh, I guess I guess the biggest sports story may be the push to change the NBA logo.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we'll see if that actually, if anything comes of that. Like, yeah. Kyrie's trying to push to get Jerry West taken off the logo. Jerry West's like, yeah, I'm cool with it. That's fine. And Kyrie wants to put Kobe up there, which, you know, I don't know if the NBA wants to do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there was the whole Colorado incident. Like, I don't know if that's the guy you want to make the logo. Like, I get that we respect Kobe and that they've been praising Kobe, but that seems like that's something the NBA might not want to do during, you know, the era of wokeness.
Yeah.
And all the PC bros out there. And all the snowflakes. Sorry. Just rubbing off on our new partnership. But, you know, I guess we're waiting to see what happens with Ty Simpson today. I guess that's the big local story, right?
Okay, yeah.
You know, five-star in-state quarterback. Going to leave us for Alabama?
Yeah, I was about to say. Like. Is that even news? Like, is that even anything we need to worry about?
No. No, probably not. No, probably not. I mean, we're still going to talk about it, I guess, somewhat. People are watching about it. That's what, you know, the Tennessee fan base is thinking about today. But doesn't seem to be trending in the right direction for Tennessee.
Nope.
We'll find out today. Maybe there'll be a surprise, a pleasant surprise. But if you're Ty Simpson and you are a five-star quarterback and you are choosing between Tennessee, Clemson, and Alabama, to me it seems like the choice is pretty easy.
One of those teams don't belong, and I just can't put my finger on it. Huh.
I don't know. Tennessee's going to throw the ball around a lot now.
That's true.
Yeah. Alabama and Clemson kind of do, too, though. I don't think they do anything differently.
They do a little better.
So, I mean, like, you know, both of those guys, both of those teams obviously have talented freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you go and just play 1 year in that offense, you'll be a draft pick. And Tennessee can't really say the same about them. Now, you know, maybe you can say, this will be different under Josh Heupel, and maybe that will change. This is most likely going to hurt, though. This was Jeremy Pruitt's Hail Mary to try to keep his job. It was like, hey, don't worry, I'll get all these 2022 in-state guys.
Yep.
The coaching change came at a bad time for Josh Heupel. Although, I will say, you know, some of the updates have been that Josh Heupel has made a good impression on Ty Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
That they do like each other, that Ty Simpson does like him. You know, Tennessee was reportedly out of the recruitment until, you know, he talked to Josh Heupel, and he's like, you know what? Kind of giving him a second look. Although, again, nothing official, but all the crystal balls right now in 247 come with low confidence. I'm not seeing any, like, real tens on there in terms of people saying that's where he's committing. But there's a lot of sixes in terms of trying to predict where he goes.
So you're saying there's a chance.
They have four what they call lead experts. Two people from Bama Online, Steve Wiltfong, the director of recruiting, and I guess they have a Clemson 247 outsider or insider. The two Bamas and the recruiting director have it as a level 6 confidence out of 10. The Clemson insider has it as a 3. Ryan Callahan put in his crystal ball, and he put Alabama with a 4.
What does Wiltfong have?
A 6.
Okay. Well, I mean, yesterday he had Clemson as a 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's because Callahan was on with Rush yesterday, and that's what he said. He said that Wiltfong really had no idea because they had an interview with him, and Simpson pretty much admitted that Alabama had been like the leader for the last few weeks, and then he didn't really know, like, in the last few days, like, Clemson's been talking to him, Tennessee's been talking to him, but
sure.
I think it's the uncertainty is more just between who's going to pick between Alabama and Clemson, not really Tennessee.
What about, like, the fact that he would probably have a chance to start right off the bat at Tennessee? You think that factors in? Because, I mean, Alabama's got, what, Bryce Young?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Bryce
Young. The 5-star, and then the DJ guy, he's a 5-star from Clemson, right?
Yeah,
the,
I mean, that's Yeah. That's a good point, Greg. I mean, they're both going to start as true freshmen this year.
And they'll be starting for at least a couple years, you would assume.
Right. But as I mentioned, if you get your 2 years as a starting quarterback, that'll be enough. Yeah. Like, as a player, would you rather come in and play as a freshman and maybe stunt your growth? I mean, like, it takes all these things and adds them up together, right? There's going to be pros and cons. But, like, coming in as a freshman with a chance to play, that's cool. But if I come and I play and I get my head beat in and we stink, what does that do for my future? Versus, okay, I might not get to play until my redshirt sophomore year. I'll sit for 2 years, but we'll probably win some championships in between that, and then I'll have a chance to lead a championship-level team and go make millions of dollars.
Yep.
Some guys might say, hey, I want to play right from the get-go, from freshman year. I don't want to sit. Especially at the quarterback position where, you know, you don't really get to develop depth at that position. You don't really get to play the quarterback position. You know, they'll get you in the games. You'll get some mop-up duty. I'm sure Ty Simpson will get some reps in Neyland Stadium as a member of the Crimson Tide if they come here in, you know, what, in 2 years? They're here this year, right? So in 2 years, he'll get some reps in mop-up duty. But, like, I don't know what you would want. If I was advising Ty Simpson, I would say the two-year route where you can just become a starter as a redshirt sophomore is pretty good. Play 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
If it goes well, you'll be a draft pick. If it takes a little bit longer, like a Mac Jones, guess what? Still be a first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I'm sure that's what they're selling them to over there.
I mean, you just...
And a chance to... They'll say that... They'll, of course, always say, like, you'll get to compete for the job.
Yeah, you'll get to compete, and you'll be great and all that stuff. But, I mean, like, if I'm realistically Ty Simpson, I've been told, like, hey, you know what, 2 years. And, like, you might not be that guy in 2 years. You might be someone that gets recruited over. Or at least, you know, Alabama's not going to stop taking five-star quarterbacks when they get them. Neither is Clemson. Right. Like, they're going to try to get one every year. But... When it comes to, you know, being a first-round pick, when it comes to being successful in college, we're the odd man out there when it comes to Clemson or Alabama. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to all of those things. Like, I know Alabama ain't had great success with their quarterbacks in the NFL, but, like,
last two have been pretty good.
You got two and you got Mac Jones. Like, so since they have gone to their new offense, it's been pretty good.
Yep.
Who would you rather him to commit to today, besides if it wasn't Tennessee?
I mean, obviously, I guess Clemson, but...
Really?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I
don't want to play against him.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to play against him. You're going to get beat regardless of who's playing quarterback for Alabama, but the stories of, you know, and they're showing, oh, he's a Tennessee fan when he comes with Alabama. Like, when he actually plays in here, it'd be a little different. Like, we watched Trevor Lawrence from afar, but we never had to play him.
Yeah.
Like, imagine, like, if Clemson would have played Tennessee...
Yeah,
the game day features about how he's a Tennessee fan. I mean, there's no right answer. There's no right answer, Hayden, in terms of who I'd rather him go to. They're both equal in terms of yuckiness. I mean, I guess people would say Alabama just because, like, least likely to go Alabama just because they're, you know, rivals. But I mean, I don't care. I guess Clemson. But
a point someone made this morning on the morning show was that if he were to commit to Alabama, Tennessee would still have a chance to recruit him throughout the season, maybe change his mind. But when they commit to Clemson, they don't ever decommit. I mean, isn't Dabo know, like, 95% of his four or five stars don't change their mind?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the difference there is. Like, I don't know, like, I mean, like, it's not like they make him sign a blood oath or something. But, yeah. I mean, he's done a good job of keeping them. I mean, that's fair. But, like, I don't know how many people are actually flipping from Alabama either. That Alabama actually wants.
Yeah.
Am I missing those guys? I mean, like, Georgia might flip whenever now and then. LSU might flip whenever now and then. But, like, am I missing big Alabama commitments? Like, I know you've beaten them head-to-head on some uncommitted guys before, like Kenry T, but, like, he wasn't committed to Alabama.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get that Dabo is the best at, you know, keeping his guys committed, but I don't think anything's going to happen to Nick Saban or Alabama where he reevaluates his situation. I don't know. We'll continue the discussion, I guess, after the break. I guess. Another big-time in-state player we're not going to get, most likely. Maybe Josh Heupel and will surprise us. We all think he's going to be an elite recruiter here, so maybe he'll get this done. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Enjoy some White Claw responsibly this weekend. Pick you up a 12-pack. Go out to a local establishment. Drink some White Claw responsibly. Support the people who support us. Only 100 calories. Ditch the beer belly bloat. Appreciate our friend Todd from Hops Knowledge for reminding us to remind you. Hayden, you were right. Florida next weekend, but you were wrong on Saturday. It's going to be a Sunday tip.
Mm-hmm.
A little Sunday tip. Is the SEC tournament still kicking off on Thursday?
Or on Wednesday, I guess, yeah, Wednesday,
but like, you know, Thursday for everybody else.
But this year will be a little different because there's only 13 teams playing, so it'll be only one game on Wednesday night. But right. Yeah.
Would there be any? Oh, 12 and 13 would
play? 12 13 will okay. Be Wednesday night, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why we're on Sunday. We're the only game on Sunday. Yeah, all the other games are on Saturday.
Do we used to? I feel like we used to do that when I was younger. I feel like our season finale used to always be on Sundays, but I might be misremembering. I just feel like in like the late 90s, I remember watching some Sunday basketball games right before the SEC tournament, but I might be misremembering. It's been a long time since I was young. So, Ty Simpson makes his commitment today. I've moved on. I'm Team Sam Horn.
Let's get it.
Ty Simpson, bust. He's got it written all over him. Have fun sitting at Alabama, buddy. These West Tennessee kids. You know, he played at what? Like, what level did he play? Like, was it the 3A?
Was Westview 3A?
I don't know. They're a small school, right?
It's either 3 or 4A, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, and Sam Horn just led his team to the highest level state championship in Georgia?
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. He couldn't even get his team past the 50-yard line. I think in their playoff game that they got knocked out at for Ty Simpson, they made it past the 50-yard line like four times. That was it.
Didn't they get knocked out like second round?
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah, that's not my quarterback.
No thanks at all.
Yeah, I'd rather have the guy playing at the highest level of football in Georgia.
Yeah.
Give me that.
No thanks.
You think that does matter?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Written all over him, bust.
But the level of competition in high school, I mean, it's a little bit better, but like, how much better is it? Like
from low-level Tennessee to high-level Georgia, I'm gonna say a lot.
That's true.
From what I've seen, yeah.
Yeah, high-level Georgia is about as good as it gets.
Oh yeah, they're in 3A. My God.
That's what I say. It's 3A. Really? Couldn't even get past midfield. Bum. Have fun sitting at Alabama.
They lost in the. They must have got a COVID forfeit in the first round because they automatically went to the second round.
So they didn't even win a game?
Yeah, because the last game of the regular season, it was October 30th. That was the last game of the football season this year. And the first round of the playoffs was the 6th. They don't have a game on the 6th, but they have a game on the 13th. It was a loss to South Gibson, 21-17.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm good on that. No.
Yeah. Give me Sam Horn.
A 5-star and 3A ball, buddy. You should at least...
We went 7-5 this year.
Oh my goodness!
What? Ugh,
gross! Yeah. Disgusting.
Started out 4-0.
This is supposed to be our savior?
Yeah, not.
No, I'm out.
Good on that.
Nope. Give me the. How far did Sam Horn take his team?
State championship. Well, he lost in the state.
Lost in the state championship.
But first appearance in my high school's history.
And the biggest level of Georgia football.
Yep.
Yep. That's my quarterback.
Yep.
Yep. Ty Simpson.
Can Sam Horn move around a little bit? He got some mobility to him?
A little bit. He's definitely more of a pocket passer.
Yeah,
but
pro style.
He puts some weight on. He looks a little
skinny. Yeah, you do need to bulk him up a little bit. But
he's 6'4", 190.
That's fine. He's a young man.
That's what those college weight programs are for.
Yeah. You get him in here, you get him, you know, sit behind Salter for a little bit, and he'll get big. It's fine. You know, Sewanee, is closer than Martin, Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Is it? It's
3.5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, Martin's.
Wow.
Martin's top left of, it's like eight hours away, right? It's like top left of Tennessee.
Yeah, Swanee's 3.5 hours away from here to my house.
Sam Horn. Parents had season tickets, Cam said, at Tennessee.
Used to borrow them to come to games.
VFL. That's my quarterback.
I know that family pretty well.
Team Sam Horn.
He wears 21 in high school for
Heath Shuler?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sorry, I was blanking on the
name. You're fine.
But yeah, that's why he rocks the 21 in high school. So
that's my quarterback.
Oh, yeah. I'm all in on Sam Horn.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Collins Hill High School is 3 hours, 51 minutes away.
What do you mean we're right? Cam went there. He knows where
51? That's if you're driving like 40.
You don't need to fact check this. This is our wheelhouse.
I know. I didn't know how far Westview was. Westview is over 5 hours.
Yeah.
Is that where?
That's where he went with Martin, yeah.
It's only 5 hours?
5 hours, 3 minutes, what
it says. Man, I thought it was farther than that. I thought it was like 7 or 8. I thought it was above Memphis. Is it not above Memphis? I don't really know where Martin is, to be honest. I thought it was
no
top,
idea.
I thought it was the top left corner of the state's what I thought, but I don't.
No idea.
I'm not a geography guy. I'm surprised it's only 5 hours. But either way, he's closer.
Yeah.
We know he grew up a Vol. VFL.
You know where Jackson's at?
Yeah.
If you just drew a straight line straight up Jackson, it's like pretty close to Kentucky.
But right.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right, yeah, but it's not that long. It's not in the very, very corner.
Okay. I mean, Jackson's 5 hours. At least, I mean, 5:15. I drove to Memphis a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, that's my quarterback. I've made my decision.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. How good was the team? Like, is he slinging to great weapons? Like, what was the situation
you
here?
You need to make up your mind. Is a quarterback supposed to elevate a team or not? You can't make up your mind.
A little different in high school.
No, it is a lot different in high school. A great quarterback should be unstoppable in high school.
Was he especially
in 3A?
Was he unstoppable? Was Sam Horn unstoppable?
He went 7-5. He wasn't doing 7-5 versus a state championship appearance. It's pretty damn different. My quarterback, winner. Your quarterback, 7-5.
Winner? He didn't win. He lost.
He lost the Super Bowl.
He won a lot more of a title. He still are looked at that year as a loser, kind of.
That's an accomplishment. Come on. I'm sure the guy lost. Who won the state championship in Georgia? I'd imagine that the guy who won the state championship is probably pretty damn good, too.
I can't remember. I'll look it up, though.
Well, I'm sure they had some good players on their team.
Yeah.
Make up your mind, Draven. Is the quarterback supposed to elevate his team or not?
It depends.
Whichever quarterback you like or not?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm out.
Just not going to get sold on Sam Horn just because he went to a state championship
game.
That's
not the only reason. He's a 4-star prospect. He's rated as a top 100 guy. 247 Sports has him only one spot behind Ty Simpson, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you said?
Yep.
Ty Simpson, number 61, playing the country. Sam Horn, number 62.
He is at
62.
Yep.
I mean, on the composite score, he's a 4-star. Number 82. So it's not just because he went to the state championship. He's a talented guy as well.
Simpson just got the bump up in the composite.
He just got the 5-star bump because Rivals knows he's going to Alabama or Clemson. So they're like, if he's going to Alabama or Clemson, we got to give him that 5th star. That's all that is. Not fooling me. I will say Horns.
Oh, yeah, they lost to Grayson. Grayson's where everybody transfers to if you know you're about to be good.
Well, who's the roster? Who's on their high school? Who they got, Cam? I mean, 5 stars they got.
That's where Wanya Morris and Owen Papo.
Yeah, it's literally one of those schools that you transfer to.
D'Angelo Gibbs went there for his senior year, I believe.
Like I said, they probably got a bunch of studs. I will say Sam Horn's offer list, not as impressive.
Yeah.
To not scare you a little bit?
Nah. Not scared.
Just under the radar.
He's got to put a little weight on him. I mean, there's difference between being, does Alabama and Clemson want you versus, you know.
Oh, yeah. They had a 4-star. The team they lost to had a 4-star quarterback that went to Miami this year.
See. I mean,
47 stud in the nation.
Yeah. Okay.
He
lost to a better quarterback.
Let's see.
It's all right. I'm not saying this guy's the best. I'm just saying he's my quarterback.
And he's also was a year younger than that guy, of course, because this is like guy that went.
He's only a junior. Yeah, that's right. He might win the championship this year. Draven, give him a break.
They also had a 4-star running back that went to Clemson.
That 5-star receiver he had that's going to Florida State, is he going to – is he back next year or is he going to Florida State this year?
He's back. Okay. So they're both the same age, same class.
Going to the state championship next year.
Yeah, that guy's the
– Grayson also had a 4-star receiver.
No. He's number 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a stud. Wow. Grayson also had a 4-star receiver that went to Florida.
Look at him. That team's loaded.
Yeah, that team was pretty up there.
Sam Horn's got this guy number 3 in the country. He's molded his wide receiver and turned him into a stud. He knows how to elevate his peers.
3-star defensive end.
You could say the other way around as well there, buddy.
You said it's about elevating your guys, making them better. He's made them better.
That guy's also listed as a corner.
Yeah.
He plays both ways the entire game. He does what's really pretty much unmatched. And, you know, they don't do this frequently in high school nowadays.
Either way, he's a stud. Team Sam Horn. That's my quarterback.
Yeah.
Can we just stop this whole, like, the savior high school star coming to save us.
I don't think anyone's talking about him being a savior. Sam Horn is not the savior. I'm not saying that at all. Ty Simpson is not the savior. None of these guys are the savior. Please make no mistake. I am not saying that. I really don't care what Ty Simpson does at all, to be honest. I'm just telling this is what the local story of the day is. I do not care. I'm tired of guys, like you said, feeling like they're going to come here and change the program and then coming here and either being good or not good. There's no way to know. The highly rated guys can stink just as much as the three stars can. We'll see what Josh Heupel can do.
Jeez, Grayson was loaded.
I want to see what Caden Salter can do. Or what Harrison Bailey can do properly coached. I don't care about these kids still in high school. I was just talking about it because I feel like that's what the audience was thinking about. Plus, there's no other sports stories of the day.
Yeah.
The other option was Russell Wilson, and we had no updates from what happened yesterday. All right. Jeez. I do think if I was a quarterback, though, I'd want to go somewhere where I could be good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Both as a team and as a prospect. I think as a quarterback, I don't think I'd be interested in the whole you can play right away thing. I don't think that would interest me as a quarterback. As a running back, yes. As a wide receiver, yes. As a quarterback, nah, not really. I want you to make sure you have a proper offensive line to protect me, sir. I need to put on some weight and become a grown man. I need to make sure you have an offensive line that can protect me. I know Alabama does. I know Clemson does. Mm-hmm. Don't know if Tennessee does. I need to make sure you have some good receivers that are going to go out there and catch the ball.
Yep.
We know Alabama does. We know Clemson does. We don't know if Tennessee does. I want a head coach that can get me to the NFL. See where I'm going with this? We know Alabama does. We know Clemson does. We don't know if Tennessee does. There's nothing that Tennessee can bring to this table other than it's like, hey.
You probably can play.
You're in state, man. Yeah. Put on for the state.
Yeah.
Yep.
You love that TriStar? Put on for the TriStar. Like, that's the only thing Tennessee can offer here. Ty Simpson said the fans are loyal, too. So.
Hey.
That's true. He appreciates that we have put up with the slop and just decided to keep devouring it. I mean, Clemson and Alabama got good fans, too, though. Like, yeah. They haven't had to be as loyal. I mean, Alabama did for a little bit, but they didn't have to do the 15-year bid like we have. Clemson, I don't know, you know, how much their fan base has grown since they got good, but they had to deal with some losing and jokes, too. Neyland Stadium's cool. And he loves Clay Travis, and we love Clay Travis. Ty Simpson's got a picture of Clay Travis. You see that from his tailgate in October? Loves it. He invited Clay Travis apparently to his announcement. Guess he wants some media covers there. So we got that going
for
us.
How far would that be?
I mean, it's 5 hours from here. I guess just subtract 2.5 from Nashville.
Yeah.
So we got that going for us, too. Maybe he can get us Ty Simpson. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Corey wants some NBA talk. We are Fan Run Radio. Let's give Corey some NBA talk.
Let's get it.
All right. What do you guys want to talk about? What caught your eye?
It's got to be the Nuggets.
Oh, man. That end of the game.
Everybody
thing. Holy cow.
Spotting up at the three line. My goodness.
Somebody's got to run. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, I think Murray made the right play. He was drawing, you know, the defenders out. But you're expecting your guys to run. And everybody was just like, oh, no, we all want to stay at the three.
Murray was
line.
Mad. He posted tweet that. Picture. He posted the picture from the angle. Like, what do you guys want me to do? There's three guys around me.
Yeah.
Michael Porter Jr., he's got to be the one that runs it around. I mean, he's
what is
six
he doing?
Foot 10.
Yeah.
What's he doing?
Big brain over here. I thought they should have traded him this offseason while they still could.
Yeah, while his stock was high.
Yep, his stock was pretty high coming out of the bubble for the most part, and people are still buying this potential. But like the more he plays, just the dumber he seems on a basketball court.
Yeah.
His basketball IQ is very low.
And
he seems selfish. Like he doesn't do anything but play, you know, but try to score.
And he's so talented, though. That's what's so frustrating. Like he could be
offensively.
I mean, he could be really good. If he put in effort on defense, he'd probably be pretty good. He's 6'10". Like,
that was
come
one
on.
Of the things I was reading the other night. There's just last night about him. He had a quote like after the Cleveland game. He was like, "Yeah, you know, sometimes I just have to realize that I'm not out there just to score. I actually got to play basketball." And Jokic has really tried to help me learn that. Like they're talking about how Jokic, like there's one specific play from a game where Jokic like has Bobby Portis posted up and wants the ball, and like Michael Porter Jr. shot a three, missed it, and they end up getting a three on the other end. Like Jokic is just standing there with his hand on his head. He's like, he told me after the game, and I had to tell him I know, I understand, and you know, basically treating Michael Porter like a little kid. He's like,
yeah,
and like Jokic's like, yeah, he knows what he did wrong, he knows he messed up. And then you have the next game. He's like, yeah, you know, I just realized, you know, if I play defense, the game's a lot easier, and like my teammates will like me if I'm actually out there trying to contribute. Wow. Other than that, but like they should have traded him they should have traded him this offseason.
Yep.
Should have done anything they could to include him and Jamal Murray for James Harden is what they should have done, because Jamal Murray's also come back down to earth.
Yeah.
That whole bubble thing really helped Jamal Murray last year, but it elevated him to another level that I don't think he was ready to actually ascend to this year. Still having a decent year. I mean, 21 points a game and 4 assists, but like nothing like we thought in the bubble.
Yeah.
Now, I will say he's picked up his last 5 games. He's raised that average. He's been on a tear.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, the Nuggets lose to the Wizards. The Wizards keep winning. And if I'm the Nuggets front office, I'm looking like, man, we have some mistakes. We have some changes we have to make. Like we kind of got lucky and made the conference finals last year.
I mean, didn't they overcome the 3-1? Weren't they down 3-1 to the Jazz?
Yeah, and then against the Clippers as well.
Oh, yeah, they were.
They were down 3-1 two straight series, and the Jazz should have left them for dead. I don't know what happened in that Jazz series where the Jazz just quit hitting shots.
Yeah.
But, like, if Mike Conley hits the 3 at the buzzer to win that series, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, he had an open 3. Mm-hmm. If he hits that to win and the Nuggets lose in the first round, we look at this team completely differently. If the Clippers don't fall apart, we look at this team completely differently. But they came in with high expectations, and they're 17-15, just chilling in the 8 seed.
Yep.
A game ahead of the Grizzlies, who beat the hell out of the Clippers last night. Good performance.
Yeah,
I was about to
say, speaking of the Clippers.
And that seems to have really motivated the Jazz this year.
For
just
sure.
Like, with our hot start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For sure. I mean, like, the Jazz have came back, and they have, you know, they've been what everyone thought the Nuggets should be.
Yeah.
In terms of taking that step and being at the top. The Nuggets always were getting included in the conversation with the Clippers and Lakers, but it's the Jazz who are at the top of the West right now.
Did we overrate Jamal Murray?
Yeah.
From those few playoff series?
Now we'll see. Like I said, the last 5 games of the last 5 games, the current streak he's on right now, he had 35 points, 50 points, 30 points, 24 and 34. So he's picking it back up. Before the year, he had been struggling, but I'll give him more than a 20-game sample size before we say we overreacted, but, you know, I don't think he is a superstar. Like, I still think it's Jokic, and, like, if Murray's your second-best player, you're not winning the West.
You taking Donovan Mitchell or Jamal Murray right now?
That's a good question.
Didn't Murray break a record the other day? Something like the
Yeah, Murray scored
50
points
without a field goal.
Is either that without a free throw? I think he had.
Oh, it might be without a free throw.
Yeah,
okay.
He scored 50 without a free throw. That's a good question. Cam, who are you taking between Murray and Donovan Mitchell?
I think I'm gonna lean Murray for now, but also it kind of just depends on what your team needs at the same time, you know. I guess Murray plays point a little better than I think I would like Mitchell.
I mean, I think they're pretty equal, pretty similar
in terms of
where I rank them. I guess, like Cam said, it just kind of depends what you need.
Yeah. Yeah, if you need a more.
If you got a big man that needs to stretch the floor, yeah, I'm going with Murray. Like, if you need space for Jokic, like, I feel like he's a better match there.
Yeah.
Whereas Mitchell kind of going, feeding off the pick and roll with Gobert, I think, kind of helps him there. But, you know, I thought it was a weird game just a terrible viral clip. I mean, people look at it and say, hey, this is what happens when analytics go too far. That was a common take. There's been a rallying cry against the analytics ever since. Was it Nate Duncan? Is that his name? On Friday, took the time to remind everyone that, you know, despite Anthony Edwards' dunk, he was 3-for-14 in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh, the nerds have gone too far. Analytics have gone too far. And then last night you see a 4-on-1 fast break end in a terrible possession. Everyone's like, ah, analytics have gone too far. First of all, analytics will always tell you to take the open dunk.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
We like three-pointers, but, like, the best shot is a wide-open layup. That is the best shot in basketball. It always will be. A wide-open dunk is always going to be the best, especially when you're down 2 points with 4 seconds left and you're wide open. That's what analytics will tell you to do. Last night was not analytics. Now, you can say that, like, today's NBA is too reliant on the three-pointer, and I will say, you know, some of that seems accurate. Mm-hmm. Some of that does seem accurate, and I think that's a fair critique. But I don't think last night's example was a slight against analytics. But there has been one in the NBA recently. How do you guys feel? People are saying, hey, too many nerds in basketball.
I mean, I think you can definitely overthink stuff. And that probably does play into some of the analytics stuff. Sometimes people are, you know, just, they're like, okay. People that probably trust analytics a little too much probably may go a little far where they're just like, yeah, it has to come down to a stat or a number or something like that. When at the same time, you're like, because it's kind of like what Draven said, like Michael Porter Jr., the analytics say a 6'10 guy like that should be a pretty solid, you know, at least a post defender or something like that. I mean, he's not. Sometimes it is just, you know, the player IQ, the eye test, stuff like that.
Well,
effort. Like,
yeah.
There's factors you can't really always calculate.
I mean, I wouldn't say the analytics tell us that Michael Porter Jr. should be a good post defender. I think that's just like eyes and like reading a tape measure.
Yeah.
You look at somebody at 6'10. I mean, for me, it's just, I think, no, you know, going back to like Tennessee basketball,
mm-hmm.
we know that contested mid-range jumpers are the worst shot in basketball. Like, analytics told us that.
Yep.
Analytics told us that, like, guarded post plays aren't a good shot. Now, it doesn't mean that there's no place in basketball. I think you can go too far and say, like, hey, get rid of the mid-range jumper entirely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think that's going too far. Like, certain people, take Grant Williams at Tennessee, for example, Jordan mm-hmm. Bone, they can hit the 15-foot wide-open jumper.
Yeah,
it's a good shot for them. It is not the same as anybody else taking a mid-range jumper. It's not the same as Jaden Springer taking a 14-foot jumper. He does that at 25% success rate. That's not good.
Yep. And it's even just like, yeah, if somebody comes off a pick or something like that and has just a wide-open shot and it's end of the clock or you're not going to get a better shot than that, yeah, take it. It's not saying, like, don't do that.
I think with, you know, basketball is one of the sports that you can really use the numbers to kind of know where people's sweet spots are. Shout out to Uncle Jesse in Full House. Like, he knew where his spot was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uncle Jesse was dark red from that right elbow.
Yeah.
That was the best shot in his, you know, his game. Analytics told you that.
Mm-hmm.
If you let Uncle Jesse sit there at that 15-foot elbow, he's knocking it down.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Also, like, kind of like Cam said.
Excuse me, sir. You're on my spot. Can you move off the spot? This is where I like to shoot. Can you please move? Isn't that what Uncle Jesse asked you in the basketball game?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Sir, I think you're on my spot. Can you move? That's where I like to shoot. What were you going to say, Draven?
I'm going to say, like Cam said, though, there's sometimes you can't just calculate this. You take Kawhi Leonard, that shot with the Raptors, him fading away.
Sure.
Three players in his face. Like, that's the shot you want at the end of the game.
Yeah,
exactly. Sometimes you just got star players like the Damian Lillard shot over Paul George a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and Paul George even said, like, that was a bad shot. It was like, Lillard's like, well, I hit it, so, like, what's it matter?
Well, the funny thing is there, like, the numbers tell you that's not a bad shot for Lillard. Lillard is pretty good from 33 feet out.
Yeah.
If George would have studied the numbers there, he would have realized, hey, I need to pick up Dame from out there.
Right.
Yep. Same with, like, Trae Young, shoots a high clip out there as well. But
yeah, like, some people have that range, like mm-hmm. Steph Curry and Damian Lillard and Trae Young. I mean, Trae's kind of slipped on it this year, but, like, those guys like to shoot out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, I mean, again, I don't think you can play basketball just through a numbers simulation. But I do think, like, there are trends that can make you smarter.
Yeah, yeah. You can use it to enhance your play and boost what you do.
Yeah.
But, it can't be the end-all, be-all, you know, for everything.
But last night was not analytics. Last night was Michael Porter Jr. wanting to hit a game winner versus just taking an overtime. He wanted to be a hero.
There was two other players too. It was Monte Morris and that one.
The foreign point guard, the new guy that got. I don't blame him for. What's he going to do? He can't dunk. What's he going to do?
It's a layup. It was wide open.
But the thing is, if all three of them ran, there'd have been confusion there too. Like Michael Porter Jr. So big ass in the lane.
I think everybody was like, somebody else is going to run. So they all just.
It was the bystander effect, and you know Jamal Murray did the same thing. He could have kept driving and maybe gotten fouled, but he's like, surely one of my teammates will run here. I'm going to stop right here and, you know, lob the ball to him.
Which I think that kind of has to go. Do you think that's like kind of almost like chemistry there? Like, I know it's at least communication.
No, it's chemistry. Yeah. It's chemistry. It's communication. And like I said, there's no coincidence that it's Michael Porter Jr. out there.
Yeah.
Like, the Nuggets don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Malone, you know, roasted him again last night. They don't like him. And I wouldn't be surprised if they move him. I thought they should have done it in the offseason before. Everyone kind of got aware of just how, you know, he's kind of a don't want to call him an empty stats player, but right now he doesn't play winning basketball.
Yeah. He's kind of what people thought Bradley Beal used to kind of be.
Yeah, like, at least at that point we had seen Bradley Beal, like, at least with John Wall in the playoffs. Like, the last couple of years, Bradley Beal empty playoffs or empty stats, yeah, sure, but his team was terrible. But, like, I at least saw Bradley Beal go toe-to-toe with the Celtics in a seven-game series. Like, I've seen him play winning basketball before. But with Michael Porter Jr., we ain't seen that, especially with him as, like, one of the four or five best players on the team. And Jeremy Grant probably looked around and said, man, I'm not losing minutes to Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm going to Detroit. I'm going to go out here and
I can ball out.
Yeah, I'm going to go out here and be the focal point in the offense versus like having to like fight with Michael Porter Jr.'s dumbass for minutes.
Mm-hmm. Don't blame him there. That probably turned out for a good decision, at least money-wise, down the road. But yeah, Porter Jr. needs to get it together.
What about Zion? Can you say the same thing about Zion when it comes to just offense and just kind of empty stats? Like,
I mean, we did talk about how he had a bad defensive rating the other day, but
I would say defense. Yeah, I mean, defense, he hasn't played any of that. And like I said, rebounding, question. But man, he's been so good offensively. Yeah. I think right now is not the time to criticize Zion's offense because he's been on a tear. Last night he was awesome. 34 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. 15-26 from the field. Like they've actually started unlocking him a little bit more. It took Stan Van Gundy too long to realize it. Well, I say that, but you know, it's only Stan Van Gundy's first year there. But they've started unleashing Zion as kind of a point forward.
Mm-hmm.
They realize, hey, this guy can't really shoot, but what if we give him the ball 35 feet away from the basket and he can get a full head of steam?
Yeah, he goes.
Like, whatever big-ass guy that's been banging in the post with him has to come out here and guard him on the perimeter, he is going to blow by them on the dribble.
He was going right by Giannis a few times last night.
He can go by anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He can go by anybody. Like, the Celtics already had, like, Tristan Thompson trying to guard him out there. He was blowing by him and, like, barreling through him. Like, they realized, like, hey, let's get Zion the ball earlier. Let's not just, like, post up. Let's let him get a full head of steam. It is going to lead to some turnovers as he kind of learns. But, like, if they can get him comfortable handling the ball, he'll be a completely different animal. His defense, though, like I said, that is not good. Mm-hmm. His rebounding is improving. He needs to take that more seriously. But no, like points-wise and shooting-wise, I mean, he's averaging 29.5 points on almost 66% from the field the last 10 games. I mean, his offense has been pretty good. And they've started winning more as a team. I just think they're kind of broken defensively.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that was the problem last year with them in the bubble, too. They're giving up like 130 points a game.
But, I mean, that was before they got Zion. I think Brandon Ingram's a bad defender. I think Lonzo is a good ball defender, like on-ball defender, but I don't know how his team defense is. And, like, it just seems like they don't really have – it's weird, but they don't really take it seriously. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They went toe-to-toe with the Bucks last night. They are playing better, at least. They are playing better. Any other NBA notes from last night?
Sixers blew out the Mavs. You had Ben Simmons calling himself the best defender in the NBA. Locking down Luka.
He is the best defender in the NBA, without a doubt.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah, I mean he's a freak, man. Like, he can't guard like a traditional center at his size, but he can guard everybody else.
He said, I can guard 1 through 5.
He can guard today's five. Like I said, if you put him up Embiid or Jokic, I don't know if he can guard them, but like there's not many of those guys in the NBA. But Ben Simmons can do everything else. Like, his scoring is never going to be his strength, but he's going to be a 14, 15 points a game scorer. He's going to do everything else for you. And like he said, he held Luka Doncic down to 19 points.
Love to see that.
Forced him into 7 turnovers. Mm-hmm. Only 3 rebounds, only 4 assists. Like, those are all really low numbers for Luka. Luka still did fine from the field, you know, 6 of 13, but like the 7 turnovers, you add that in. That was a pretty bad night for Luka.
Oh, yeah.
I like that Ben Simmons calls himself the best defender, though, because I think he is. And I think that's where he has to, like, just like, make his money and make his impact, is being that guy.
Yeah. With his you know, inability to shoot jumpers, that is going to be his moneymaker.
Be the defensive guy and be the guy who can cut and post up, and that'll be you can create out of the post and pass. Like, you ain't got to worry about scoring, baby boy. Just go in there and get layups and dunks.
Yep. All you need.
The Sixers, 14-2 at home. They were really good at home last year, too. They got hurt in the playoffs, in the bubble, by not playing at home.
Because the record on the road was brutal. It was one of the worst in like NBA history.
It was like at least 500.
You know, that's a fair point. That might have been – they might be like, you know what, this is good. We don't have to actually go on the road. But they're like unbeatable at home.
Yeah.
So like they I think they would have beat the Celtics at least 3 times in that series, all in Philadelphia, but they probably would have lost in 7.
Yeah.
Instead they got what, swept? They didn't even win a game?
Yeah, they got swept.
Without Simmons, of course. But this year – that team is pretty good. That team probably a shade under Brooklyn, but they, you know, have to feel like at least like the second best team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will say with Brooklyn, though, something we haven't talked enough about is how, you know, we've laughed at their defense, but I saw that in their first 14 games. This comes from StatMuse on Twitter. Their first 14 games of the season, their defensive rating was 30th. There are 30 NBA teams.
Oof.
So it was last, the first 14 games. However, they've won 8 games in a row. In their last 8 games, and keep in mind, so this is on a, you know, a 5-game West Coast trip against some pretty good teams, their defense ranks 12th in defensive rating.
Okay.
They can win the title with the 12th best defense.
Absolutely.
They can't win the title with the 30th best defense, but with the 12th best defense, they can win.
Mm-hmm.
They will win if they have the 12th best defense. So if you're Brooklyn, you maybe feel a little bit better about that. Any other NBA news? Appreciate
Luke Walton's got to get fired, right?
Who?
Luke Walton down there.
Yeah.
Knicks put 140 on the Kings last night.
Why are they so bad? Their roster is not terrible.
Their roster is terrible.
I did see Marvin Bagley's like the worst.
Second worst.
Yeah, like just awful.
Drafting Marvin Bagley the third over Luka Doncic, over Trae Young, over Jared Jackson Jr. will go down. I don't want to say like the same as drafting Darko, number 3, over Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Was Darko number 3 or number 2?
He was number 3, I'm pretty sure.
Is it number 3 or number 2?
Mm-hmm.
No, he's number 2.
Number 2.
Did Wade go 5?
They drafted Darko ahead of Carmelo.
Oh.
Because that was one of the what-ifs, what if the Pistons would just drafted Carmelo.
Yeah. Oof.
What? Right? Darko is number 2, I believe. Am I wrong in that?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah, was it popping up? But yeah. Yeah, it was Darko, LeBron,
and then
Darko.
Like
and
Chris Kamen was number 4, is that right? Chris Bosh number 4?
It was Bosh 4. Melo actually went 3.
Yeah. Oh, and who went number 2? Okay, yeah, that's
Darko
that's
went
2, yeah,
Melo went 3, three. Yeah. Yeah. Bosh 4.
And then was 5, Wade, then Kamen?
5 was Wade, yep, and then Chris Kamen. Yeah. Kamen 6.
Who was number 7? Was there anybody good? Was there?
Kirk Heinrich for the Bulls.
So no, nobody like. I mean, he had a decent career.
He was okay for a minute.
I'm saying Chris Kamen. I mean, pretty equal to that. But drafting Marvin Bagley, number 2 over Luka, over Trey, over Jaren Jackson Jr. That's going to go down as just another huge misstep for the Kings. Marvin Bagley the third is the second worst defensive player in the league. Ranking only ahead of Kristaps Porzingis. If you're wondering why Dallas wants to trade him.
Yeah.
So, like, you say their roster's not bad. I mean, they got some guys that can get stats, but, like, they don't have a team. Like, I mean, Hill is a guy that can hit some shots, but he's not a good player. At least, like, when he's having to be, like, your second or third best player. Like, you need him as, like, a bench guy. De'Aaron Fox has been good, but, like, he can't carry a franchise by himself. And Halliburton's been good as a rookie, but, like, that's it. And they just have no desire to play defense.
Nope.
I thought Luke Walton was going to be good there, and he is not. And again, they got 140 hung on by the New York Knicks.
How about the Knicks, though?
Julius Randle.
I mean, they're pretty good, man. Emmanuel Quickley is going to be first team all rookie. Like
he's
is
a stud.
He's good.
Great.
He's really good. He had 25 off the bench last night.
Yeah, I think 18 in the first half, if I remember right.
Derrick Rose, nice little 18 points on 11 shots last night. Julius Randle with a triple-double, or not triple-double, but 21 points, 14 rebounds, and 4 assists. I mean, he's been an all-star. And, you know, Tom Thibodeau, you know, this is the kind of team he needs.
Because they're not good.
I think Tom Thibodeau has proven that, you know what, and I think we have other people that are other, you know, years to kind of see that, like, you know, Tom Thibodeau at the end of Chicago, you know, Rose got hurt. Fan base didn't really forgive him for that.
Mm-hmm.
Only so much you could do there. But then he went to Minnesota, and he helped get them to the playoffs 1 year, and then it was like, Thibodeau's bad. But, like, you know what? Those guys are just losers. Cole Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins were just losers. I'm not blaming Thibodeau for that. Those guys are just losers. Now, Thibodeau, you could say, like, Thibodeau GM, he gave away, you know, Zach LaVine for Jimmy Butler, but he got him to the playoffs, but like LaVine's turned into an all-star, so maybe that was short-sighted, yeah. But still. Thibodeau's going to New York. He's got a gritty team that wants to work, and I want the Garden to get full. Open it up, Cuomo, you criminal. Lock him up. Cuomo for prison. Lock him up. You can buy Cuomo for prison shirts on OutKick.com. But Thibodeau deserves a full Garden.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
I would like to see it.
Because this Knicks team is pretty fun. And Cam, we might have to play them in the play-in games in the playoffs. And that's probably not going to go well for us. We can't beat the Knicks.
I know. It's weird, but that's our little...
They're up to a 6 seed, though. Shout out to them. Thibodeau's doing a good job. Like I said, we bashed him for what he did in Minnesota. But it turns out, you know... Maybe Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins were just losers.
Yeah, to be honest.
Karl-Anthony Towns ain't won nothing. He is going to be on the worst team in the league again. Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and we need